Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, chaplain for the Republics of the United States of America, and it is an honor and a privilege to be here on this cold, windy night, at least that is for most of us. I want to welcome you to the month of Shavuot. It began on Thursday, and it is the 11th month of the Hebrew spiritual calendar, and we are coming into a time of great change, shift, signs, wonders, and miracles, and incredible happenings. And if you don't have our calendar, you need to go to the website and download it. If you prefer to have it emailed to you, I will do that. All you got to do is let me know your email. And I send out about 100 every time. So, but it is, as most of you know, a daily devotional with a Hebrew perspective. It starts out to give background. And one of the big things that we've been talking about for some time has come up here. Come up higher, the Lord's saying, you know, he wants us to come and be in his presence and dine at his table. And a group of us had an experience this past week where literally we dined at his table. And then I put it right up front, Sylvia Nusich, as N-E-U-S-C-H, Nusch. Anyhow, it was delight once again at the richness of his table, and it's a powerful confirmation of the word that just tied right in. I love the Hebrew perspective because it gives a foundation for us to better understand what God is saying, what he's doing. So in that, we're going to spend some time over the month with confirmation after confirmation of what God is saying and doing. You might have 3-4 articles in a row that are almost the same thing. And these are prophets and prophetesses from around the world that God has given a word, a vision, and to, and it makes a big difference. It changes people's lives. So I want to encourage you to grab a hold of it, read it, make it part of your devotionals every day. My wife and I get up and listen to Dutch Sheets, join in with his prayers. I go to the calendar, and then I download that particular day. So today was one of the lightest ones we had, and didn't surprise me, but I only had 10 pages. Some days I have 40. And that becomes a lot of the articles that are in there, but I tie into up to 60 different authors every month, so I get a whole bunch of email. But it's all for the calendar. So we are going to press in, and we're going to do things, like I said, a little bit different. Holy Spirit's given me some instruction because of things that are going on. So Yahweh, Father, I come to you in the precious name of Yeshua and by the blood of Yeshua, and I call you Abba tonight, Daddy. I'm coming to you asking for divine revelation, wisdom, discernment, understanding, that you would come and rescue us from our time of need and troubles. And your word says that you would rescue those who love you and protect those who trust in your name, Psalm 91:14. And you are our Lord and God. You are Abba, and you're also Yahweh, our Lord and Savior and King. And we come believing for you and your hand to be upon us to protect us, to guide us, and help us. And Lord, the enemy is doing everything he can right now to bring about destruction. He wants to do nothing more than destroy your creation, and he wants to stop us from doing that which we're supposed to do. So you've said that this year, 2024, our year, it's not your new year because you started back in September, but it is the year of the open door and greater glory to revelation. And you're saying over and over again, can you see it? Can you hear it? Can you see what I'm saying? Just come up higher. Enter into the door of revelation this year and come forth so I will teach you that which you need to know for the time and season that you're in. So as we go forward, as we press in, we're going to do just that. We're going to press into what he's saying for the time and seasons that we're in, that he would literally bring revelation. Now on page 28 of the calendar, Julie Green Ministries gives a summation of the Prophetic Prophets Conference that took place just a couple weeks ago and talked about specific topics. And I'm just going to rattle off topics, but you're shaking and open doors. Talks about the shaking, talks about the nations raging, and the wartime situations we're in, the lawlessness and the economic problems and shaking, the word for the United States and other nations and what he's saying, and the voices of the remnant, those that are speaking, those that are calling for that which needs to be done. So as we go forward and as we press in, we're going to see, know, and understand far more. And as we go into this month, and this month is talks a lot about trees, the righteous one, the branch, that which God is saying about the time and season, and we're going to really go into a shaking of that. But I want to pray. We're going to do a shofar, and then I'm going to call on a few people to pray for specific situations. So, Abba, Yeshua, Baruch HaKadosh, we come in your precious name. We come seeking you for all that you are and all that we could hope to be in you, that you would pour your spirit out upon us, that you would give us divine revelation, that the light of your glory would emanate from us. It would just illuminate everywhere that we go, that we'd be carriers of your light and your glory, and we'd release it continually. And that joy would come in the mornings because people would see, know, and understand that the light of your glory is here. You said you're going to do things. You're going to expose things. Nothing that's been hidden is going to remain hidden this year. Everything's going to come into the light, even your glory. And signs, wonders, and miracles, healings, all kinds of things are getting ready to take place. Inventions, witty inventions, knowledge is increasing, medicine is going to change. Everything that the enemy's tried to trick us in and do is going to be exposed, and most of us, I mean most all mankind, is going to be shocked at the revelation. And a lot of people are going to reject it, but the truth is there. We're pressing into you to get truth, Lord, to get healing, to get deliverance. And we come in your precious name and by your blood and ask for the angels ministering and warning to come and manifest and come and do that which you do best, the word, the will of the Lord God. And we thank you for it this night and the manifestation thereof. In Yeshua's name, amen. And let us shofar or whatever else now. Glory. Thank you. Thank you so much, John. We're going to do, like I said, we're going to be led by the Spirit. Jim Carpenter has been attacked viciously by the enemy. So has Sandy and Robert. They went out to this conference and all of them got sick. I don't know who was the fourth one. Who didn't get sick with that trip, Robert?
I did not get sick.
You did not get sick.
Yeah, Jim's wife got sick as well.
Okay, Laura got sick, okay. And Jim has been fighting it. The enemy's just continued. They didn't even give him antibiotics when he left the hospital going in last week in the emergency room. They did not treat him properly or take care of him. And so he gave out a panic email earlier. He is feeling a little bit better now, but we're going to start in prayer and pray for Jim Carpenter. And Steve Lufter, I'm going to ask for you to pray for your cousin. I know that you pray for him. I know that you already do, but you've seen things that most people never get to see and hope they don't have to, but you've also seen signs, wonders, and miracles. So will you start praying for Jim and Lori? And we're going to all come in agreement, and I'm going to have somebody else also pray. They'll have a different mix on it for them and anybody else that is suffering from sickness right now. And Steve, we're also going to be praying for you. So if you would, sir.
Amen. Let's join our hearts together in unified prayer. Lord God, Yeshua, our Savior, our Healer, our coming King, we come before you by the blood that you shed on the cross. And your word says that by your blood we are healed. we come in agreement. There's power in the agreement that we have in prayer before your throne. We come before your throne to lift Jim, Lori up to you, especially right now. Lord, you are in control of this, and we're asking that you would now, we speak to every demon of sickness and illness, you must be gone. Release. I pray release from these attacks in Jesus' name, in the name of Yeshua, the Almighty Healer. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. It's time that this is taken care of. We know that there have been many people who've been praying, but we're calling out before the courts of heaven for the end of this season. Lord, you've been teaching him some things, and he's been listening. But now it's time to release him so that he can be free to go about the calling that you put on his life. And so we demand that the demonic forces in those evil entities that are causing this illness, release now in Jesus' name. Release now. We pray for healing for every cell in his body to come in alignment for the way it was created to be in the original design you made for Jim. We pray, Lord, that you would bring all of his DNA and his cells into alignment according to your perfect purposes in the name of Yeshua, our Savior. We thank you for that. We thank you for the answers to prayer, because you said if we call upon you, you will hear us. You said that if we call in unity, you will heal. So we claim your word. We apply your word to this time and this season of prayer for Jim and Lori in the name of Yeshua, our healing Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. John, thank you for catching me there. I made some noise. I didn't mean to. Wasn't thinking. Mark Binder, you always have great prayers, and you always have a word. You always seem to have something prepared. But I'm going to ask you to do something a little different, and you can include that in if you have. Steve, who just prayed, as you know, has been such an integral part of what we've done for the last 3 or 4 years, and it's been a true blessing to have him part of everything. You know, he's back in Brazil. He needs everything from finances to undergirding to direction and wisdom and favor on him as he goes about doing that which the Lord's called him to do, going back down there. It wasn't that long ago when he had to leave because of the threat of assassination by the drug cartels. Not wrong on that, I believe I am correct on that. And he's back down there doing what God called him to do. But he needs continually lifted up, and we don't take money in here for this ministry, but we're also going to start looking at helping those that are in the mission field. Something that we'll talk about and develop as we go along. It was put to me this again this morning about that. But if you'd lift up Steve Loofstra, Mark, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Father, we come to you in the name of Yeshua to lift up Steve Loofstra and his wife. Father, we pray that you give him your glory and your presence. Father, we pray for finances, provisions. Your word tells us that you'll provide the bricks if we provide the labor and the mortar. So, Father, we're just asking for a blessing for him, and we're asking for protection for him because he's going into another nation, and he's spreading your word. He's doing the work of a disciple and of a teacher, Father. And we just lift him up, and we ask for your blessings. We ask you to put dome protection on him and his wife. The enemy cannot penetrate through. We ask for you to send your angels ahead of him and encamp, encompass around about him, to take care of any spiritual or physical attacks against him, Father God. And we pray that you speak to the earth to vanquish any curses against him on that, Father. Any earthly curses that someone might put on him, we vanquish them in the name of Yeshua. And we just lift him up, Father, to your amazing grace. And we do all this in the mighty name of Yeshua. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. I'm going to pray over all of us. You know, we often miss and don't understand the literally the authority that we have as believers, as sons and daughters. John Rockwell, you know, he's been sick. I went through the flu. Everybody in my family had the flu. And many of you have gone through something recently, sickness or infirmity. And each of us has a great sphere of influence, ourselves, our family, our home, business, those that we pray with. And actually, we have the right and responsibility to pray for one another, to keep each other lifted up. I am negligent that I don't pray for everybody every day. I hit the ground running too often, and I know that's the case of most everybody. We may try, but we fall short. And we have the right to come up to a higher authority, to pray for all of us, where God assigns us responsibility to guard, protect, and cover our family, our friends, our loved ones, those that we pray with, those that we work with even, and those that are in the Republic, those the organizations that you're part of. He honors that authority by putting you there, by placing you there. So I want to encourage you that we can break strongholds. We can go into the different courts. We can appeal to heaven on their behalf. And we literally make a difference. And we don't have to be there. You know, in Mark 5:22-43, a man named Jairus came to Jesus. He was a centurion. He asked that he would come. And, oh, no, this is literally his daughter. He said, heal his daughter. And Jesus did so. Now, he did not go there. He just said, will you do this? And there's also the circumstances of the centurion with his servant. And the centurion said, it's not necessary to go there. Jesus, Yeshua was going to go there. It's not necessary. Just speak the word. I'm a man of authority, under authority. And I know who you are. And it, you know, basically, and if you speak it, I believe it, it's going to happen. And Yeshua said that he had not found such great a faith in all of Israel. And this man was a Roman. So as we go and as we learn to pray, dealing with our own weaknesses, our own sickness, our own disease, our own battles, our own family. And believe me, everybody's got issues. If you got anybody else in your family, and if you, it's only you, then you got problems yourself, you know. And he says the weapons of warfare are mighty, pulling down strongholds. So, Father, we come in the name of Yeshua. And we're not at the mercy of demons or in the world around us. We are of a position of great authority in you. You conquered for us and delegated to us the right to lay hold of victory, but we have to claim it. On the front page of this month's calendar, Lord, I talk about some things about that which you're doing. Also, I talked about it in a letter that I sent out today to a Baptist friend of mine. He's been a Baptist deacon and minister for some time, and he was questioning some of my faith. And I said, well, you know, he's given us the authority, and he's waiting for us to exercise that authority. So, Lord, we come right now and in the authority, in the name and the blood of Yeshua, to go into our God-given spheres of influence, because that's what it is. And we ask for you to back that authority through your word, your way, your will, and the angelic host to bring health, victory, provision, freedom, peace, sound mind, you know, heal the sick, let the blind see, let the lame walk. Run unto us, Lord God, that we would walk in a victory, each and every one of us, that is beyond our comprehension. Even though the enemy comes in an evil way to kill, steal, and destroy, you give us your armor. And that armor gives us a protection if we'll put it on every day. So it's a privilege to take on the covering. It's a privilege to pray for everybody. It's a privilege to release blessings, health, well-being, prosperity, and make decrees and declarations over your children. So we pray for all those on this call. We decree and declare that every prodigal in their family that is suffering from strongholds of deception and rebellion, that it be broken off them. We release the power of the Holy Spirit to go out and get them, and angels that contend, go get them. And even ourselves, where we're in the era. We call upon you, Lord God, decree and declare that sickness, disease, and infirmity has no place with us. And we stand in the promise of healing, deliverance, salvation, and the fullness of you. We pray in the authority and the name of Yeshua and decree and declare that we have been given the God-given right, the right from Father, from Abba and Yeshua and Holy Spirit to go into these spheres and make these declarations that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. It doesn't say that it won't be formed. It says formed against us shall prosper. So we stand and we decree and declare and we make the declarations of faith that we're going to see the coming of your glory, the manifestation of signs, wonders, and miracles, and we're going to press in like never before. So, Lord, I pray this over each and every one of us, those that aren't here also. I pray this over Sharon and Greg and John and Janet and Steve and his wife, and I pray it over myself and Francis, and over Bruce and Linda and Matt Westridge and Matt Fraser and Liz and John Underwood and his family and Mark Binder and his big family and Mama Zulaga and him and Mark Carroll and his family. There's big families here. Roger Waters and theirs, and Mike Suttleworth and his families, and Jim Carpenter and Tim Turner and Jim Geiger and all the officers and delegates and people involved with the Republic, all those that we pray for in the different spheres, all of our family members. Lord, I lift them up before you to intercede on behalf of that they would be made whole. April and Janet and Violet and the women that are in the background, and those that pray continually, those that are on all of our other prayer calls, those we work with around us, our spheres of influence, Lord, let us be a light to your glory and let them see through a manifestation of that glory that what you're doing in Yeshua's name. And I give you thanks. Amen and amen. You know, I love the writing of Roger Waters. Okay, Roger is one of the best storytellers I know that takes the gospel and interweaves it with what if and family members and what's happening. And I've asked Roger to come tonight and start us off with the story of the new year that we're in on our calendar, not the biblical calendar, but our time. And it's called the New Year for Trees. So, Roger, will you come bless us, sir?
Thank you, Wade. Hello, everybody. You know, there was a point in time where Adam and Eve talked with the animals as they roamed in the garden. There was also a point in time where the Creator told Adam that of all the trees in the garden, they can eat of any of them except the one in the middle, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which turned out not so good for mankind, and even worse for the Creator, because they ate. But there was a way to fix that. It was called the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. 2,000 years later, there was another man, Abraham, who came on the scene and understood that there was a Creator, and after a conflict, he paid a tax, known to as a tithe to a king off the spoils of the war. God instituted a covenant with this man Abraham and told him that his offspring would be as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. Abraham knew of the plan because it was written in the stars about a woman who would give birth to a king and would become from a lion and would have a crown on his head. He was also told that he would be the father of many nations. So his first son, Ishmael, became the father of all Arabs. Then came Isaac, also known as Laughter, who was a test for God to see if a human could become a sacrifice for all of mankind. and told Abraham to take his son, his only begotten son, to the mountains of Moriah and sacrifice him. As it turned out, God spared the boy, and in his place a lamb was given to become the sacrifice, paving the way for what was to come. This man became known as the father of Jacob, who would later be called Israel and would have 12 tribes. Then after Sarah died, he had Keturah, whose sons became the leaders of what we now know as the mother of the Muslims. When a man called Moses came upon the scene, the law was handed down to him, and with the finger of God, the law was given to all mankind. It was called the law of God, and 10 commandments. Before it was all over, there was another law that came called the Mosaic Law, and it was a detailed account as to why and how to sacrifice animals, and which animals to sacrifice, the temple layout, and how the temple was to work. Around 1600 BC, after the law was given, man became mad and crazy, doing unholy things, committing massive sin, and breaking all of God's laws, except for the majority of those of the 12 tribes. David got the floor plans for the Temple Mount, but it was Solomon who built it. And in 586 BC, Babylon overtook Jerusalem, destroyed the Temple Mount area, and took the 12 tribes captive and moved them to Babylon. Thus we had Daniel and Ezekiel and the prophets that came forth. During this time frame, from Moses to Isaiah, a ritual done on a minor feast day began, and it's called the New Year for trees. Under the law of Moses, it is required, and only on this day, Shavuot 15, the middle of the 11th month, and is a day used for the new year for trees. It is a day to eat the 7 fruits from the tree and grain. They are wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates. Isn't it interesting that there is also 7 spirits of God, just like there are 7 of these grains and fruit from the trees. Revelation 5:6 says, "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the 4 living creatures and the elders. The lamb had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. They are the Spirit of the Lord, wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, and the spirit of fear of the Lord, also known as reverence." There are 4 new years in Hebrew: the Nisan New Year, which is Passover in Elul. There is a new year of tithing, cattle. Then in Tishri, we have Rosh Hashanah, which celebrates the creation of the world. Then there is Shavuot, the year for the trees. It takes about 4 months for the rains of the Jewish New Year to saturate the soil and enter into the trees. In Israel, the rainy season begins just after Rosh Hashanah. Any fruit that is produced between Rosh Hashanah and the 15th of this month is considered last year's fruit, since it was created by the rains of the past year. Anything produced 4 months later is considered fruit of the new year. Since all these fruits come from trees and have a new year for trees, it is literally the new year for the trees, because it is only from that point forward that the trees are infused with the water from the new year. Isn't it strange that we celebrate trees in the dead of winter, when they all look half dead? But in the dead of winter is when they are really most alive. It is in the winter months that the trees take in the water that the rains bring below the frozen ground, and the sap begins to flow, which is the bloodline of the tree. And a new life is beginning to take, and we don't even see it. The trees are forming a new life from the ground and from the water, same as where man came from. In the book of Jeremiah, the prophet described a true evergreen as a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream or the river. It never fears when the heat of summer comes. Its leaves are always green, and it has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. Jeremiah 17:8 says, "A tree planted by the stream of water always has strong roots. It isn't affected by the twists and turns of the weather because it has an alternate source of nourishment. A tree with well-watered roots always thrives. It is strong, beautiful, and always bears fruit." In Jeremiah 17:7, he wrote, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat comes, for her leaf shall be green and her root not be careful in the year of the drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." A tree can do all it does without complaining, losing its faith in nature, and turning away from what it knows to be right. Just think what we as people can do when we do the same thing, and we don't complain, nor do we run away from what we know is truth. Thus we have the seven spices and seven attributes. Deuteronomy 8:8. "For the Lord your God is bringing you to a good land, a land of brooks and waters, fountains and deeps, and depths of the spring, out of valleys and hills, of wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, and of oil-yielding olives and honey." They tell us that originally the trees bore fruit, as well as also be the case of the era of Moresh. A fruitless tree was a symptom of an imperfect world, for the ultimate function of a tree was to produce fruit. So if a man is a tree of the field, according to Deuteronomy 20:19, and fruit is the highest achievement, and there are seven fruits that crown a human and botanical harvest, then these are the seven fruits and grains singled out by the Torah or law as examples of the Holy Land's fertility. The wheat, the barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, olives, and dates. The 15th day of Shavuot is a day designated by the Jewish calendar as the new year for trees. It is on this day that we celebrate the trees of God's world and the trees within us by partaking of these seven fruits, which typify the various components of modes of the human life. Wheat and barley are the two grains among the seven kinds. They represent the staples of our inner makeup. Following are the five fruits. The first is the grape, whose defining characteristic is joy. Have you ever watched a five-year-old wake up one morning to a new dog or cat, and it's his own very own pet, and watch the smile and tears flow from his little eyes, just crying for joy? That is pure joy. The same thing will happen when our Heavenly Father sees us entering into eternity with Him. He will be doing the same thing as that five-year-old. The fourth is a fig, and is also the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That is the fruit in which Adam and Eve tasted, thus committing the first sin in our world's history. As the Hebrew teaching explains, knowledge, also known as D-A-A-T, dat, is an intimate involvement with the thing that is known. Adam's sin was not that he ate of the fruit, but rather he refused to reconcile himself with the notion that there was something he should have done to distance himself from doing it. Adam's fig was one of the most destructive forces in history. The fig represents our capacity for a deep and intimate involvement in our endeavors. It's an involvement which signifies that we are one with what we are doing. The fifth fruit is a pomegranate. It is compartmentalized fruit. Each of its hundreds of seeds is wrapped in its own sack of pulp and is separate from its fellow seeds through a tough membrane. The same way it is possible for a person to do good deeds, and even many good deeds, yet they remain isolated with little or no effect on its nature and character. He may possess many virtues, but they do not come from him. He may be full of good deeds, yet he remains morally and spiritually hollow. The sixth is the olive. It is a part of ourselves that strives on struggle, that reveals in it, that would no more escape it than escape life itself. Just like the olive, which only yields its own oil when pressed to, so too do we yield what is best in us only when we are pressed to do so. As the fig is countered by the pomegranate, so too is the olive in contrast as out our seventh fruit, the date. That represents our capacity for peace, tranquility, and perfection. While it is true that we are best when pressed, it is equally true that there are potentials in our soul well worth only when we are completely at peace with ourselves. Only then we have achieved a balance of harmony among the diverse components of our own souls. The tree is an exciting representation of man as a whole. We are just like all seven fruits that come from the living water, from the ground of the tree, and the living water that comes from the throne room of heaven. We can never achieve all this on our own, so the Creator allowed us to see a glimpse of what He means by living inside His law form. That ends the reading. And Father, I too want to come to You. I too want to pray and declare by the name of Yeshua that those that are sick, those that are injured, those who are having a hard time, no matter what the purpose or reason is, You are Lord over all. You are King over all. Your word says that by your son's stripes we are healed. That's not a maybe. That's not a if we want to. That is a sure fact. And there ain't nothing hell can do about that. It's a done deal. And we declare the healing. We declare the sanity. We declare anything that is not of you to be gone in the name of Yeshua. We have a job to do. You have picked us to do that job, and we can only do it when we are one in tune with you. And we cannot have outside distractions. We cannot have illnesses, sickness, or disease because of what the enemy wants to put on us. And therefore, we tell the enemy, bye-bye, get lost. We have no reason for you. You have no purpose for us. We are not belonging to you. We belong to the Creator, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And we work and honor Him, and we praise Him. And Father, we praise you with everything that we have because you chose us to be right where we are at right now. And we say that in the name of Yeshua. And we thank you for the blood that covers us and the healing that we have from your stripes. And we say that with gladness and with joy and with honor. We thank you, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Always love to hear from you. Always love that what you share. You know, everybody needs to have a man on his right and a man on his left. And that's John and Matt. And we alternate those positions amongst ourselves on whatever has to be done, relying on what the Lord is saying to us and through us. Now, Matt had a word for tonight. It's in the calendar, but it also has a word for tonight that's not in the calendar. And he's going to bless you. And I'm very anxious to hear what he's got. Matt Fraser.
Thanks, Wade. I'm going to piggyback off of what Roger was talking about a little bit. I'm going to go right into Moses. I was sitting in a worship service, and the Lord really highlighted something to me about the church age to the kingdom age. And I'm going to start out in Exodus 15 when Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out the wilderness and Shur. They were out there 3 days in the wilderness. Of course, they found no water. That's when they came to Marah, and they couldn't drink the water, for it was bitter. And the people right away started to complain against Moses, saying, "What should we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Isn't that interesting? A tree. And he cast that into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. You know, it's that correct tree, not the tree of good and evil. It's the one that only comes from the Lord, of course, representing salvation. It's a place where these bitter waters for all of us. We've all come to that place where we just cry out to the Lord and we say, there's no way we could possibly do this without a supernatural God who heals. The ultimate price on the cross, of course, the spotless Lamb who makes everything clean. You know, it's the beginning. The church has walked in this for 2,000 years, proclaiming the good news. Many have chose to stay close to shore, never venturing too far from its site. It becomes a place of comfort for them, but in the same way, it limits the growth. And sometimes it causes a conflict because you start to work and walk and see what the Lord is doing. You start to see the Word of God, and you start to walk in both worlds. And this often can lead to a state of discontent. His grace should be sufficient, but it doesn't always work that way. It takes more growth. And I think in many ways, this is a symbol of the church. Just as the Lord told John to the seven churches, each one was in a different phase of this. In Exodus 16, Israel again set out from Elam and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elam and Sinai. There, the desert, they all grumbled against Moses and Aaron again. saying, if we had only stayed in Egypt again, there we sat by pots of meat and ate our fill of bread. But you've brought us in this desert again to die. Just a question, are we ever satisfied, or do we always want more? You know, it's human nature in a way. The Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain down bread from heaven, and each day the people are to go out and gather enough for the day. In this day I will test whether or not they will follow my instructions. Boy, we could stay right there. You know, because the Lord is wanting to do that for each one of us. He even gives them instructions on the sixth day to go out and gather twice as much to be prepared so you could have a day of rest. But again, the Lord started grumbling and complaining because his people wouldn't listen. He was upset about it. You know, it breaks his heart when we are not obedient to him. Not that he wants to say anything. He loves us unconditionally. But it's still upsetting to him when he sees that we're unfaithful to his word. Moses and Aaron told the whole congregation, come before the Lord, for he heard the grumbling. And they looked towards the desert, and there was the cloud of glory as the Lord appeared. Again, at twilight, the Lord said, you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know I am the Lord your God. That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew had evaporated, there were flakes on the desert floor as fine as frost on the ground. You know, it's what an amazing sign. Moses told him, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded you. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. And the measure of the omer was given to each person. Some gathered more, some less. But none was supposed to gather excess. You know, when you think about the resources we're given, and even the age that we've gone through the last 2,000 years, there's been mixed results with that. We've relied on our leaders to guide us. You know, in the early church, it was an open platform, a brotherhood of believers. They gave to each as they needed, as it says in the book of Acts. Then Rome came in under leadership, and they put a platform in once again of having a single leader. But now we are transitioning into a kingdom where each one of us is called to be kings and priests, which means we each go directly to the Lord. It is our heart's relationship that determines where we are and how the Lord will use us. The Lord said to Moses that no one may keep any of it until morning. In other words, the Lord gave them exactly what they needed. But some didn't listen, and some gathered too much because they were greedy, and of course, it spoiled, and Moses became very angry with them. You know, it's all about resources, and Paul told the Corinthians that they were stuck, some were still comfortable. He says, I give you milk because you weren't ready for that meat yet. Some are still worldly. For there was jealousy and dissension in the ranks. And he even asked the question, are you not walking in the way of man? In this day, this kingdom transition, the Lord is more than willing, and he gives each one of us abundantly everything. It's his heart's desire. But just like Israel, we are the ones that must be the good stewards of what is given to each one of us. Some in the church use what God gives them for their own personal use or to build up their ministry or even worse, to shine light on themselves. All that meat will spoil. You know, that whole story is timeless, really. the next chapter in Exodus 17, when the whole congregation left Israel, left the desert of sin, they moved to a place called Rephidim. Of course, there was no water again because the Lord always sets these things for people to see if they're ready to grow. But again, the people contended with Moses. Moses said, "Why do you test the Lord? You know, our human nature does never find rest. It's never satisfied. It is our spirit that must lead us to that place of rest, that place of still water." But these people were still focused on their physical need. They thirsted for that water, and they grumbled and grumbled. Moses asked the Lord, "What should I do with these people? A little more, and they will stone me." You know, I thought about this passage right here because so many of us come under attack. As we prayed earlier, it's a constant battle. It's a place where each one of us needs to go in before the Lord and operate in a priestly position. Some of us are reading Ian Clayton's book right now, The Priesthood of Believers, and he refers to this as the throne of grace, the place where we just go before the Lord and where we lay everything down. We come in a place of humility, and that's where we receive revelation, discernment, and direction. And that's a function of the priesthood, which the Lord is just pouring out right now in these days, because we're all going to need it. In verse 5, the Lord said to Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you." Again, they are unified as one. "Take along in your hand the staff which with you struck the Nile." You and I have that staff, that authority. We talked about it earlier. It represents the authority that God has given each one of us. And that authority may change based on the situation, but it is He who gives it to us. In verse 6, He says, "Behold, I stand before you at the rock of Horeb, and when you strike the rock, the water will come out and the people will drink." I love that. "Behold, I will stand before you." Notice the alignment. You know, it's up to us to continually go to Him in His presence, that throne of grace, and make sure each and every day, just like that manna, just like we get up every morning, we go before the Lord, make sure we're in alignment with His perfect will. If not, we allow the enemy access to us. In many ways, that's why there's been so much damage caused within the body. If we let our passions, emotions, or anything get ahead of His perfect will, then we allow the enemy a foothold. You know, it's a transition time for all of us to this kingdom, to this place, just as Moses stood and the Lord stood before him. He's been programming each one of us, teaching us to operate in a greater level. He's expanding our spiritual boundaries so that we can enter in the greater dimensions, and He can entrust us with more. You know, it's interesting, we get all the way to Numbers 20. We went from Exodus to Leviticus to Numbers to the death of Miriam to get to this transition moment again. Again, faced with grumbling and discontent, Yod-Heh-Vav brings us to another transition moment, the waters of Meribah. Again, the Lord instructed them, "Take your staff, your position of authority, and your brother, and assemble the whole congregation and speak to the rock before your eyes so that it may yield its water." So Moses did stand before the rock, stood before the Lord, took his staff, and he assembled the whole congregation in front of the rock. But his emotions got a hold of him. His passion took center stage. He said, "Listen now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his hand, and he struck the rock twice. The water did come out, But of course, we know the story. Moses and Aaron, the Lord said, since you did not trust me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, for this reason you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I've given you. It was really a sign for all generations. Obedience is king. Or maybe better stated, makes kings. When Moses raised his hand with a staff, it was a moment to bring a new level of authority by connecting heaven and earth. But as the story goes, he didn't exactly seize the moment. He took matter into his own hands. I thought, wow, how many times have you and I pushed forward thinking we knew the perfect will of God? But great grace and mercy is always there for us. Many look at that moment as a failure. After all, Moses didn't lead them exactly into the promised land. You know, Meribah or Massa shows up two places in the scriptures. Similar things happen, both locations, the miracle water. Interesting analogy, because the Lord is bringing us, his people, to a threshold of unlimited provision. Each time that happened before was a precursor to another time period. It was over 1,400 years from Moses to Jesus and 2,000 years to where we are today, and we again stand at that rock. We stand with Yeshua, another opportunity to release unlimited resources. You and I can't afford to miss what lies before us. We can't rely on old methods or following others. Just as Moses stood alone before that rock with the Lord, so do we. Nobody can walk your path or my path but us individually. We can come together corporately like we do on this call, but each one of us has to walk that path. The Lord uses each one of those walks to bring us to that higher place if we embrace that journey. And when we think about Moses, he was the one standing with Jesus at the Transfiguration. We can't always look at the black and white and assume that that picture tells the whole story, because in him are dimensions and layers that continue to unfold his great grace and love. The Lord really showed me this week, he's calling us to step forward into places to unlock greater eternal realities on earth. It's really about those resources. You know, there's amazing things going on in the earth right now. There's such knowledge coming. Some will be used by those for their own reasons, but others will use it with a kingdom mindset. Amazing things are coming that we can't even fathom right now that are going to unlock things for the medical science. Everywhere, we're going to start to learn about sound, light, frequency, the healing factors. It's already somewhat there, but it's going to become a greater reality soon. As I was putting this all together, a confirmation came in from Paul Keith Davis. When he wrote this, he said, "We are living in a time of great expectations to experience and display this amazing, undefiable aspect of God's nature and goodness." Interesting enough, he said this, Moses asked for the Lord's presence to accompany them in their mandate. He then went a step further and said, "Show me your glory." I believe this exemplifies our current position. Without the Lord's presence, we cannot simply move forward. Then we desire from that position of union to experience the glory. In the Old Testament, we can see the glory of God coming upon the chosen. But in our day, the glory comes within. Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is part of the Omega plan that the Lord's unveiling through his word. The end of the age will display the Lord's glory in one final representation of his resurrection power on earth. This will bring in the great harvest. That is why the purging, purifying, and refining has been so apparent. You know, it's amazing to think about that, but we all stand here now representing that and representing, again, what Moses was asked to do, which is to speak, to stand in that place of authority, to stand in union with the Trinity, and to be of one accord with their plans, their unveiling of the restoration, not only in this nation, but all over creation. And it is upon us. And I'm going to prepare our hearts right now for communion by reading something else out of Numbers. And this comes in Numbers 33:50, where the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, opposite Jericho, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you cross over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, that you should drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their figured stones, destroy all their molten images, and demolish all their high places. And you shall take possession of the land and live in it, for I have given the land to you to possess it." You know, it's twofold to really think about that. The land, the earth itself is one. Just as Roger was talking about all the way back to Adam and how that affected the earth. But we have our own earth too. And it starts with us. It starts with us driving out anything that is not of him and allowing him to possess us. So through us, he can affect the greater plan of salvation and restoration. Yeshua started all that on the cross 2,000 years ago. And as we take communion, it takes me all the way back to the bitter waters and the grumbling and complaining. There's so much being unearthed in the earth right now. There is toil, there's turmoil, and there are things hidden which will come. And yet we are here for this time because he's chosen us to be here. Just as he came in the flesh, he's calling us to be an army, his body, to stand with him in one accord. So Lord, as we take these elements, it comes in many, many ways, your bride, your army, your kings, your priest. Whatever that role is, Lord, let us be just as Isaiah said, yes and amen. Lord, we lift these, we honor you, and we glorify your name. Amen.
Glory, glory. Thank you, Matt. Very, very powerful. Perfect tie-in. John, you got a couple things you want to share, and then we're going to call on some more people for prayer. So I give the mic to you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Glad that you're all here tonight. I'm going to be very brief tonight. Don't have a piece of music to play just because nothing came to me. what did come to me this morning is the number 33. So I thought, well, must be something that I'm going to be presented tonight. It's just basically going to be scripture and nothing more than that, which the scripture is always good to bring to the table. But I wanted to start out with Romans 6:23, and then I'll go into the 33, which I've only got one scripture for 33 tonight because that was the one that was spoken to me. But this is what Romans 6:23 says: "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, that is his remarkable, overwhelming gift of grace to believers, is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord," which to me, that sums up salvation all in just one verse, which I think is definitely an encouraging thing to know that everything is through our Lord and Christ Jesus. And that's what the communion is all about that Matt just led us in, was about the communion. And as I said, I woke up with the number 33 in my mind, and specifically in the Psalms 33 is the one that came to my mind, what I was led to read for tonight. And again, this is encouraging, at least to me. Hopefully it will be to you as well. But chapter 33 starts out with, "Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous ones. Praise and become appropriate in those who are upright in heart, those who are moral integrity and godly character. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud and joyful sounds. For the word of the Lord is right, and his work is done in faithfulness. He loves the righteous and the injustice. The earth is full of his loving kindness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord where the heavens are made, and their hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a wineskin. He puts the deep in the storehouses. Let the earth fear and worship the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he has spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He makes the thoughts and plans of people ineffective. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts and plans of his heart throughout all generations. Blessed, fortunate, and prosperous, and favored with God is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his own inheritance. For the Lord looks down from heaven and sees the sons of man. For his dwelling place he looks closely upon the inhabitants of the earth. He who has fashioned the hearts of them all, who considers and understands all they do. The king is not saved by the great size of his army. A warrior is not rescued by his own strength. A horse is false hope for victory, nor does it deliver anyone from great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him and worship him in with awe-inspiring reverence and obedience. On those hope confidently his compassion and loving kindness to rescue their lives from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait expectantly for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For in him our heart rejoices, because we trust and lean and rely on his confidence in the holy name. Let your steadfast loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, and the proportion as we hope in you and for you, in Yeshua's name. Thank you, Lord. I yield back to you, Wade.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, thank you. Powerful. I see President Geiger has joined us. Good evening, sir. Do you have something that you wanted to speak tonight, or a prayer?
Thank you, Wade. It's a blessing to be here. We just moved to join you guys tonight. But it appears to me, after listening to Matt, I need to speak to the rock. Would you agree, Wade?
Absolutely. Don't want to strike it.
I don't want to strike it. So right now, I just speak to the rock and command it to bring forth waters for the people of this country and around the world, that the big blessings come forth out of the rock, which we know you rock is Yeshua. So, Abba, Father, we're so thankful you gave us your Son to spill his blood for us on the cross, and that that we have these blessings because of that. And we have the ability to speak to the rock, so to speak, and that command these blessings forth across this country, and let everybody that's put their hand to the restoration of the Republic be blessed, and let your children call upon your name all across this country and across the world, and let us see your salvation. In Yeshua's name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. And by the way, I don't know how many ever read it, but a guy named Wyatt and with a team followed the Exodus and went over onto the Sinai Peninsula, where Mount Ararat's there, and the rock is still there, and it split right down the middle, and you see where a river flowed up out of it, you know, a major stream that became a river. And it's the largest aquifer under the Sinai Peninsula is there. The Arabs won't let you get to any of that anymore. But photographs and everything's in his books in my library. But unfortunately, all that stuff's packed in storage right now. But a good friend of mine, Miles Jones, was the interpreter of the, he was a doctor in languages. And he interpreted the ancient Hebrew for that trip, and some of the photographs and things that are available that confirm everything that Scripture says and what Matt and Roger were talking about. It's so powerful to see where Moses was and what happened, and it's still available to see today. It's just you won't be able to get there. You have to go by the photographs. I'll try to get that book out as soon as I can to make it available to people so I can tell you where to get it. We're going to call on a couple more people here tonight and for prayer, and I want to thank you. And Bruce and Linda, I'm going to call on you with a selfish motivation, and it's not too selfish, but we are going into, as you know, some exceptionally challenging, I don't know, the word challenge is not the proper word. Exciting times that are laid before us, that face us now. I'm talking the very weeks ahead of us, that people have been waiting for a long time for. Some of the major banks have announced that they're going to go into reorganization, Chapter 11, and one of the largest banks in the nation. You're not going to read about it. It's done behind the scenes. And everybody that doesn't have any more than $250,000 in the account will be insured. But other than that, there's concerns. But the nations are in an uproar. And we are at the point of dealing with a lot of those things with the work that we do in the Republic and otherwise on a personal event also, personal side. So you can use innuendos, Bruce and Linda, and because you have an understanding, because you and I have talked about some of these things. But we're at the door now, and I'm asking for prayer that we will be able to go through that door into that next place. And if any of you listen to Johnny Inlow weekly, last week he had an excellent, excellent word. It was on the four doors. Well, the Lord's actually called me and said there's five, and the fifth one's the one we have to walk through. The other is going to be opened automatically for us, and we have to literally show up for that fifth one. But so Bruce and Linda, wisdom, health, direction, whatever the Lord puts on you for myself and the leaders of what we're getting ready to do.
Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. We have seen in our life history that God is the source. When we had less than $50 in the bank, the Lord showed us, sell the bricks out of your sidewalk. We had, our home was built in 1888. The sidewalk bricks have some of the bricks say, don't spit on sidewalk. Those are original bricks. And we took those and sold them at an antique store, and that helped pay the the needs. God is well able to supply our needs however he would ordain. It doesn't have to come through the banks. It doesn't have to come through what we have planned. He is well able to bring in the resources from the north, south, east, west, and any point in between through any glorious connection he would ordain, however he would choose to bring it. And it is our job not to strive over the resources, but to rest in faith in the fact that he is the provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. So regardless of what the banks choose to do or don't do, regardless of whether CBDC comes or doesn't come, our supply is sure. Our needs are met already in Yeshua, and we rejoice in that. We thank you, Father God, for the open doors ahead. Father, there may be many doors, and Lord, we ask you to show Wade and the others who are specifically involved in these activities, Lord, the specific doors that you would have for them. We thank you, Father, for keeping doors closed that you would ordain to not be opened. We thank you, Father God, that you are the God of the open door. And we thank you, Father God, for your provision through that door. We believe you, Lord, to supply everything according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, there may be in the natural challenging times ahead. And we read about all these different prognostications for 2024 of the challenging times and world wars and this, that, and every other thing. But, Father God, we are secure in you. You are our rock, Father God. That rock is not split. Hallelujah. That rock is secure. You are the rock, Yeshua HaMashiach. You are the fortress. You are our high tower. You are our hiding place. You go before us. You are our rear guard. You lift us up and you cover us with your great and mighty wings. We thank you, Father God, for giving Wade and others the great wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and the fear of the Lord to walk forth in authority, Father God, as you would ordain, to open the doors that you would have before them, Father God, that you would pour out your abundance, your blessings, and give them the wisdom and understanding how to utilize it for your greater honor and your glory. We thank you, Father God, we are not overcome. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of your word. And we speak your word, Father God, for victory in every area of life. We thank you. It is done in the name of your holy child, Yeshua.
Wow. Wow. Glory, glory. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Michael Suttlesworth, as we progress in the Word, it's going to require obedience. And Matt talked about it. You know, we, without obedience, we can lose everything. And it's going to require that we're instant in season and out. And this is for all of us. You don't even know it yet in many cases in our lives. And I say all of us, that he'll speak something and it's a matter of, now, the urgency is to do it. And would you pray that the Lord give all of us the spirit of knowledge and wisdom to do the now when the Lord's saying it? Because we're in a now season from here on out where if he says turn right, you better turn right. Or if he says stop, you better stop. But however the Lord gives you that, would you pray along those lines, sir?
Yes, Wade. Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. Lord, Father, I just come to you right now that you're the only one who knows what's coming, Lord. You have set the destiny for our lives, for your children, for those who live in your love, who have you, and Lord, bless, whether it be in our prayers, whether it be in our dreams, our visions, Lord,
help us to have our eyes and our ears, help us to hear what it is you're trying to say. And Lord, give us the wisdom and the discernment to understand what it is you need for us to do and where to go. Sometimes you give us directions and you tell us what we need to do and where to go, but we're somehow blinded by the enemy, or maybe we just don't understand what it is you need for us to do. And so, Lord, I ask for wisdom and understanding and discernment so that when you do open doors, when you do give us directions, that we will understand and do those things that you ask us to do and not go in the opposite direction. And Lord, I know that there's many things that are coming soon, wonderful things, but that doesn't mean that there might not be stumbling blocks ahead of us. So Lord, just give us strength, give us vision, give us discernment, help us to understand who our enemy is and which way to turn and which way to, and when we should go and when we should stop. Lord, just be with us, protect us, and be with all of those who you are using, Lord, to carry out the things that you wish for us to have. And Lord, just thank you so much for all that you do and all the blessings that you give us. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Sharon, I got one of the biggest requests for you. You're very aware because you're involved. The Lord, for all of you that don't know, the Lord has pulled together what we would call SWAT teams, spiritual warfare attack teams, to deal with specific circumstance situation. It could be about you all or governments. It could be about many different arenas. The Lord will give us something, and sometimes we research for months. Sometimes we pray immediately, but we go in and do warfare. And, you know, there's many on this call that are involved in those different types of teams where, you know, sometimes they're in the middle of the night or the wee hours of the morning. Sometimes they're during the day or at lunch or in the afternoons. It really doesn't make any difference. And some of them are all women. Some of them are men and women. Some of them are just called because they're called to be what we would consider generals that have been set aside to do some of these things. And a lot of people in the church would consider it insanity to go on some of these journeys. But the Lord has called so many out there. And Sharon, I want you to lift up the SWAT teams. You don't have to mention names. You know many different ones. You're involved in many different arenas where God calls you to do things and gives you knowledge. But all of us need to be girded, undergirded, and prepared and protected. And I'm asking you to do that and enclose us for tonight also.
Amen. Thank you. What an honor, Lord. Before I do that, I want to say that I want to speak a prophetic word concerning what was spoken tonight, that God said, seems like we've been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, and I could keep repeating that word, and we've not really seen the effect or fruit of what we've been really pressing in for. And I feel strongly in my spirit, and I'm going to believe that he's going to give confirmation that what we've been doing is watering a seed that's been planted in the ground. Ah, man. And you're about to see this. You're about to see the green of the sprout of the seed. Oh, thank you, Lord. I release that right now. Northeast, west, and south. Hallelujah. Father, I lift up the strike teams. I lift up the Delta Force team. Lord, I lift up these commanders, these generals, these lieutenants, these colonels in this battle of the kings, Lord, really. We're kings and we're priests in this realm. And, Lord, it's been a battle. It's been a royal battle. And, Lord, there are these teams, these Delta Force teams, these strike teams, these generals that you have called, that you have literally picked up from one location and placed into another. And Father, I thank you for the multitude of them
I pray for all of them right now. I know you're big enough for me to make a prayer here, and it affects as a ripple in the still water. When you drop a pebble in, it ripples out. That energy pushes it further. I thank you, Lord, that this is just but one ripple. But the effect is going to go global, because you said that we are to pray global prayers. You're a global God. So, Lord, I lift up these forces of ranks within your army that you have called, that they would be precision in their use of their weaponry. Lord, that they would wield the weapon with excellence. Lord, that there would be many angelic forces engaging with these strike forces, these teams that you set up. And I'm grateful for what you're doing, because you are the God of provision. You're the God of multiplication. You're the God of you're a providing Father. You can't not. So these strike teams, these Delta Force teams, they need funding. They need people. They need power in the body. They need bodies to sign up, to come forth. And Lord, as I am coming before your throne of grace and mercy with this prayer, I am excited, because out of the ground is going to come a sprout from the watered seeds, and many, not just one, many. We have focused our water, our prayer on certain things, and others have focused their prayers on certain things. And Lord, the ground is going to become very fertile very soon. We're going to see as the crocus comes and pokes its little head up through the snow, we're going to see the green of the shoot as it comes forth now. I'm grateful, Father, for this broadcast. I'm grateful for this company of believers. I'm grateful, Lord, for the Republic, for the United States. I'm grateful to be a part of it. I know many are echoing my wording. They're grateful to be a part, to be, as many have said, the greatest times are ahead. And Lord, as we come together, I pray no dissension within these groups, these strike teams, these Delta, these forces, Lord, that you have brought together. What was the other word you were calling it? Wait, I want to call it by the other word you were calling it. I just keep getting strike force.
SWAT teams, spiritual warfare attack teams.
The SWAT teams, Lord. That what you're doing in the body of believers that are the SWAT strike Delta Force teams, Lord, is going to be only able. We're only going to be able to see by the grace of God. It is all going to bring you the glory, the honor, the praise to you. Lord, we have tarried. We have stood. We have been there, done that. And you said, and now, the fruit of this seed that we planted years ago has been being watered. Now, the sprouts, and quickly, the fruit. It's not a slow tree. It's like a jack in the beanstalk. Overnight, boom. Hallelujah. Lord, I lift us up as we go on our way, and I thank you for every prayer that was prayed tonight to be answered according to your perfect will and in your perfect time. The glory, praise, and honor of King Yeshua. I say amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And for those of you, just if you have questions in your mind, these people are around the world. They're in every continent and every place. We're not just praying for us or anybody here. We're praying for those that are international. We know a lot of these teams. We're not particularly on all the teams. We're not, and it's, you got to count the cost to even do what these teams do. So there's many teams I don't even want to be on, okay, because, you know, you got to be willing to lay things down. But those people need to be lifted up. There are people that go where you and I are not going to go. And they need to be encouraged. And that's what it was all about tonight, because we're aware of some of those people. Matt, you got anything else before we close, sir?
I think we're in a good place.
Yeah, so do I. John?
Yep, I'm going to agree with Matt. I think we're in a good place tonight. It's been different, but it's been good.
Yeah, that's what it was supposed to be. Steve, before you go from that part of the world, do you have anything you'd like to part with?
No, I can't add anything. I wouldn't want to add anything to what God has done already tonight. It's just blessings to you all.
It's been a good night. And thank you, and all of you that got prayed for, Jim and others. I believe for the manifestation of his glory and healing.
Amen.
We press in. So blessings to all. Good night. Look forward to our future together. And please download the calendar if you don't have it. It'll bless you. Good night, and thank you all for being here.